Good to be here. Wonderful to worship the Lord from our hearts this morning. And praise, adoration, and in remembrance of what Jesus has done and what he's going to do. He's coming back. Are we all ready for that? Oh, joy, oh, delight. Does that bring joy and delight to your hearts this morning? In remembrance of me, look in your heart. The songwriter wrote that so beautifully. When you look in your heart and you're thinking about Jesus, what comes to your heart and mind? The song said, in remembrance of me, eat the bread. Eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, look above. Look in your heart, up and then in your heart. Take your eyes off everything else and look full in the face of Jesus. And let all those things fade away. It's as those things fade away that we get often a very good look at our hearts. In remembering Jesus, I remember so many things in his life. Yes, the bread, the blood, or the vine, the grapes. All those things come to mind. But beyond that, Jesus lived what he taught. He healed the sick. He fed the poor. And then the songwriter said, search for food. And I pondered that phrase, search for food. And I really believe he was referring to looking in the Word, looking, seeking God for the food that he has for us to feed our souls and our hearts, because that changes us on a continual basis. And then he says, in remembrance of me, always love. I thought it was interesting in that song. It said, in remembrance of me, let your brother in. That's the love of Jesus, even the brother that may not be your favorite. Let him in. As I was remembering and looking in my heart, I saw two main reasons why I love doing this memorial. What are things that come to you, why you enjoy this? Here's what came to my heart as I was pondering. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul speaking the words of Jesus. I'm just going to turn to it for a moment. In verse 23, Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And I just think I'll stop there for a minute before I go into that and go on with my reasons why I enjoy remembering. If you would, I'm just going to backtrack a little because I got ahead of myself a little bit. If you would look at Luke 22:15, I love this verse. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The hour had come. It was time for the Passover observance, and all of the preparations had been made. Jesus sits down with his disciples, and he begins to speak to them of things upon his heart. He had spoken often of his coming suffering, but each time the words seemed to fall on disbelieving ears. They were not able to comprehend what he was saying. In the solemnity of the hour, he is saying, the moment has arrived. This is what I've been looking forward to and what I have been telling you about. The hour of my suffering as the Passover lamb is here. What a poignant moment. What a precious moment, not only for those who were seated at the table with him, but surely for each of us as well. Cannot we see in his words that this was the fulfillment of his heart's desire? This was the reason for his coming, that he might give his life for the sins of the whole world, making possible the redemption of all who believe in him. Here is one of the most sacred of moments. Oh, let us not miss the wonderful truth which Jesus is expressing as he identifies the elements with his body and his blood, which were the symbols of his sacrifice, death on Calvary. Let's not miss that, thinking about that moment this morning. It was a precious moment, a sacred moment. And Jesus longs for us this morning, desires for us to remember and eat and drink, just as he told the disciples, his Passover. And just a continuation of Luke 22, I just want to read that a little bit, leading up to 1 Corinthians 11. Just give a little background before we get to that. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way. And instead of communing with Jesus and all his friends, he communed with the chief priests and captains. Not a good choice, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and he shall say unto the good man of the house, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? and he shall show you a large upper room, furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave them and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. And ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, or not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed me unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be remembered or be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? "Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when they which were about him saw that would follow, they said unto him, "Lord, shall we smite with the sword?" And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretch forth no hand against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. How would you and I be in a test like this? What's in your heart will come out when you're under test. And here's Peter. He said, "I will go to prison with you and die." But a certain man beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And almost the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." He remembered the words of Jesus. And Luke is the only one that records this moment when Jesus turned and looked at Peter after he had just finished that last adamant denial. And then Jesus, when he looked, I can just see him, or Peter, just looking into the eyes of Jesus. And it just broke his heart. And he realized what Jesus said was true. And what was in his heart came out. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." That was blasphemy to them because they were so full of unbelief. Their hearts were far, far away from God. And Peter didn't realize what was in his heart until he was under test. And the songwriter in our song said, "Look in your heart. See what is really there." And you know, Peter turned and he looked into the face of Jesus. What happens to you and me when we truly have a good look into the face of Jesus? Often our real heart is revealed to us. But there's so much hope this morning. Jesus came and suffered all of this that I read for you. He came and suffered, and there was just tremendous suffering that he went through. And he came to do that, that we might be able to confess and receive him into our hearts and lives, and to allow his blood to wash us clean and to bring hope and freedom and faith, as we thought about that candle this morning, the candle of faith and peace. And Jesus came for that. So in remembrance of me, look in your heart. In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, look above into his face. As a songwriter says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Well, getting back to the two reasons that I love to do this memorial this morning. And you know, for me, it's not just this morning. It's continuous. As I was remembering and looking in my heart, I saw two main reasons why I love doing the memorial. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, gives the key verse 23 we read, and then verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the first reason is just remembering Jesus, his suffering, and all that he did for me. And that is a benefit to my own heart, to my own soul. Jesus is a personal remembrance for my benefit. It brings renewal, refocus, looking into my heart. The second reason, showing forth his death, as Paul says. He says, and for as often as ye eat this bread, in verse 26, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And I was thinking about that. Remembering and honoring the words of Jesus and taking these symbols of bread and wine and looking into my heart. And in doing that, I'm renewed, refocused, and I'm not ashamed to show his death and suffering. Because Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And often in times of testing, what's really in our heart, just like Peter, what was really in his heart came out. And what about us? In times of testing, when we are around evil, how do we respond? What's in our heart will come out. And will we remember Jesus, his suffering and his death for us? And will we not be ashamed of that, because that's the gospel. That's so much a part of the gospel. The bread, the wine, the blood, the forgiveness, the love, the New Testament of love is all such a part of showing his death until he comes. I think often of times that I've been in situations and I've had to hang my head in shame because I was quiet, didn't know if it would be appropriate in making excuses. And there's Peter looking into his heart, looking into the face of Jesus and remembering his words. And it broke his heart. And it breaks mine when I find myself in those moments of testing what is in my heart. Is it the words of Jesus and his gospel, his suffering, his death, that others might come to know the blood of Jesus to wash away all their evil and sinfulness? You know, the other day I was in a group of men and I was shocked. Some were professing and some weren't. I think they all were professing. But the vulgarity that came out of their mouth. And I just stood in shock and I cringed. But being that they were professing, I thought, well, you know what? They know. Why should I say anything? And afterwards I thought to myself, Lord, why didn't I just say a little something that would remind them of what they were professing is not coming out? First, remembering Jesus is a personal remembrance for my benefit. It brings renewal, refocus, looking into my heart. The second, showing forth his death must be outward to others. The world, the brethren, this morning we are outwardly showing forth his death to one another. So the first one is for my own personal benefit. The second one is showing forth his death until he comes. It was clear to me as I was pondering this that every time I eat his body and every time I drink his cup, I am to remember him. And this eating of his body and drinking of his blood is to be a continuous act on my part, a constant obedience to the full commitment made in being baptized into being dead with him. And I just have a point written down here. I have a couple points here under this. A continuous commitment. That's what comes to my mind as I partake of this morning with you. That this isn't just a one-time, a twice-a-year event. Now I did my thing in memorial. No, it's a continuous commitment. The primary meaning of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11:26. For me, it is not as often as I partake of them, of these symbols, but every time I eat Jesus' body and drink of his blood, I do show forth his death. This again is a continuous commitment. Paul confirms this in 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. Let's just read that quickly. I was blessed as I read that. Verse 16, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So Paul confirms where the communion, that communion is clearly continuous. And it's just not a twice a year thing, which I remember growing up, I dreaded communion. I didn't enjoy it because I thought I was never perfect enough to do it. And my focus was totally wrong. And as I grew in my faith in Christ, I realized that it's a wonderful moment to be able to remember what Jesus did, and that it's just not a twice of the year thing that it was that the church I went to, twice a year we did communion. No, it's continuous, going on all the time. And what's happening in my heart when I think of my commitment to Christ and all that He means to me, the gospel within my heart, and how I need to show it forth until I'm gone. Show forth His death. Paraphrase, I like to paraphrase this to me in what it means to me. Jesus' words might read, "This bread represents my body, broken for you and for the remission of sin. Take and eat of it as your commitment to follow in my footsteps. Offering your body also to be broken and filling up that which is behind of the suffering of Christ." And Colossians 1:20, just beautiful words about this. Before we go on, I just want to stop and read them. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, in verse 19. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And that's awesome. And that's what His dying for us does, and His blood. It makes us reconciled back to Him. It says, ye that were in wicked works, and we all were at that place at one time, wicked works, but He came and gave up His body and His blood that we can be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That's beautiful to me. This morning it blesses my soul. Every time your body is broken, and there's oftentimes we are broken in this life by many things, just remember Jesus. I just feel like Jesus is telling me, just remember, I first broke mine for you. Be strong. This cup represents my blood to be shed for you, poured out fully in death for the forgiveness of sins and for a testament of the new covenant to be made for the world. Take and drink of it as your commitment to follow me even unto death. Every time someone reminds you that the way you take will lead to certain death, and you know you have and I believe that more and more we'll be challenged about our faith, and they'll say, you know, what you're going to do is going to bring death to your life. Remember, Jesus is just telling us, and I was just thinking He was telling me as I was pondering this, if thinking about someday maybe having to face making a decision for Him, and to not cave, but to remember how Jesus first shed His blood for me and was willing to die. And He just, it was like Him telling me, be strong. I paved the way for you. Be of good courage. for I have overcome the world. And if you ever face those moments, you just remember Jesus. And many men and women have faced those moments. And I'm sure they thought about all that Jesus did. And I'm sure they thought how he broke his body and how he poured out his body for them. There's something about that for me. It just gives me strength to go on with Jesus. What encouragement, comfort, and strength was in the Lord's words when so understood. What compassion for the trials to be faced, and what strength against temptation that it gives us this morning. And the next point I'd like to look at is obedience is the message. The clear and continuous message from Jesus is to obey. And we are this morning obeying his command. As oft as ye drink this and eat this, eat this bread and drink this wine, you do it in remembrance of me. Obedience is greater than any idea of my idea of sacrifice. It is the sweetest offering that I could make to the Lord, an offering made often by fire because of sacrifice and struggle. And it's a sweet savor to God when the conflicts, the rebuke, the chastening gets hot. And for Peter, it got hot, and he backed away and denied. What will you and I do? But when the chastening gets hot, don't draw back, but let it consume all of self from you. Forget about yourself. With the sole desire to be effective in the Lord's service, and found pleasing to his dying self, so that the broken body of Christ be seen in you. Brokenness. Do you come back, push back in defense, or do you allow your body to be broken and not defend, but let Christ Jesus be your defense? I wrote down a bunch of scriptures and I didn't have time to look them up. Romans talks a lot about these things. I'm running out of time. Just look at this one scripture here. And here's Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation in everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then 16:4-5 in Romans. Just let me read that quickly, then we'll move on. So are you ashamed in the moment of testing, in the moment when it's getting hot? Look in your heart as you remember this morning. 4:5. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, what he's saying here, there's many that have given their lives for Christ. Nero was killing many. That's why he says, laid down their own necks. And time of testing came for Paul. And Nero executed Paul like many of the other disciples were executed in different ways. They were put to the test. But their heart, what was in there, came out, and it gave them strength to stand in the time of testing. And that's what he promises for all of us. He's with us. He gave everything for us. Dying daily with Christ when we partake this morning, and we think about Jesus being crucified and how he died, and he longs for us to get a grasp of that, to die with him daily, not just today, daily with him, and allow his broken body to minister to us and to be able to have strength to go on and to keep our focus on him every day. There's a song in the hymn book, and I've asked Sarah to help me, but you know, my throat is bad this morning, but we're going to give it a try. It expresses, again, what I think of when I think of in remembrance of me. And it does help me look into my heart. It's in your hymn book, but I don't know if everybody knows it. Some of you may. See if I can find the number here. I did have it, now I lost it. Oh, Sacred Head. While Sarah's looking that up, the one verse it says, "What language shall I borrow for thee, my dearest friend?" What page is it, Sarah? 240. And I'm going to close with this, and we'll proceed into communion. What language shall I borrow, the fourth verse of 240, to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. And then also in verse 3 says, what thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. And if you, what's that? Second, third, and fourth, right?
I thought it was just 1, 3, and 4.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. 1, 3, and 4. And then you just do that one in the instrument. Okay. Oh, Sacred Head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns the only crown, Lord, save you, head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine. Yet though despite and glory, I joy to call thee mine. Mm-hmm. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee.
Lord God, as we thought about so much about you and remembering you, and then having a moment here to look into our hearts, Father, I thank you for this time. Your word says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We were doing that this morning, looking into our hearts, and as we looked into your face, thank you, Lord, as we think on all these things this morning, that the things of this world grow strangely dim as we think about your love, your redemption, your forgiveness, you breaking your body, and you pouring out your blood for the New Testament that we today live in and can enjoy the freedom and the love and redemption. We have so much hope. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for not staying in the grave, but rising again, Father, that we might also rise up. As we die to ourselves, we can be resurrected in you and serve you continuously throughout the weeks, Father, just loving to obey your words and to follow you with all our hearts. Hallelujah. As we proceed now with communion, Father, I just pray that your presence would continue to be here and you would bless the bread and you would bless the wine. Lord, as we together break bread and as we drink together, Lord, that we would remember your words in remembrance of me. Eat this bread in remembrance of me. Take this wine. Thank you, Jesus. And if there's someone here, Father, that took a look and saw things there that you're convicting them of, Father, I just pray that they would just repent at this moment and allow you, Father, to pour your blood into their hearts and to cleanse them. None of us are perfect enough for this morning, but Father, as your word we read it this morning, it's because of your death and suffering and your blood and broken body that we can be presented faultless before the Father. Hallelujah. Bless this moment together. In the name of Jesus, amen.